Yeah, it's your boy Ray Ray on the mic. Let's go.
Mic check, mic check. Welcome to On the Mic with Ray White, where we share life lessons, encourage self-reflection, and equip you to take action. My name is Ray White, and I am juiced that you're taking time to listen to this episode today. And I'm often thinking in models and frameworks, especially ones that help me as a leader. And when I come to the mic, comes to the podcast, I feel like it's important to share that with y'all too, because it could benefit you in the way that you lead, the way that you organize yourself, lead your teams, create belonging workplace cultures, and continue just to be the best leader that you could be in the space, right? And today, the model I want to talk to you all about is the four stages of competency. Now, this one has been shared quite a bit, especially in spaces with entrepreneurship and just understanding of your own mental journey, understanding of your journey, because it talks quite a bit about what type of mindset you are in and the level of competency that you have with the skills that you're producing on a regular basis. Here's the four stages. The first one being the consciousness incompetent, which essentially is you have no idea how the skills that you have or how you do the skills that you're doing, right? You just don't have awareness and understanding of those particular skills. I want to firmly believe that we have nobody in that space, but there could be some folks too. So how do we just encourage and incorporate that as a part of folks that we just know? We got to move to the next stage, which is the conscious incompetence, where you understand that there is a lack of understanding within our own parts, within your own parts, that is associated with race, gender, socioeconomic status, just the cultural diversity within our organizations, within our spaces. And that understanding is honestly the first step, right? Knowing that there is some incompetence when it comes to my cultural awareness and cultural understanding of the people around me. I know I don't know much about the communities that are different than my own identity. I know that there are people out there who I do not have a relationship with, or I do not know the plight of their experiences. That is okay. Hey, it's okay to know. It's okay to be aware. Like, we need more awareness happening around us in our communities and our understanding. That helps us to identify the gaps that we can fill with relationships, with education, with knowledge, with more opportunities to build up that awareness to become more actionable and more of an advocate within our spaces. So being able to have that understanding and know that there's a cultural gap or cultural understanding and knowledge with that gap, and that gap creates discomfort and creates a dynamic where people feel like they just are misunderstood, but you know that misunderstanding could be filled with just more relationships and more education. So being able to work with more places and spaces where there is a greater context, greater understanding, developing your education, developing your lens, see things in a more of a cultural perspective can help shore up some of that incompetence. And the fact that you know that there's incompetence there is a great first step to move towards. So have a strategic plan to move yourself from knowing that there's a gap to filling that gap with more knowledge, education, workshops, building relationships with people, having people to help guide you, being community to guide you in that space, right? As you move from becoming conscious incompetent, then the next stage, which is conscious competence, where you know, right? You know that there is a gap, or you know that there's cultural differences and dynamics within the world, within your workspace, but then you are competent and know how to navigate it, right? You know how to understand and see things from people's perspectives and respect those perspectives as a part of your leadership, as a part of your culture. You have the understanding and you can adapt your behavior to make sure that people feel like they belong and thrive. And that's part of the competency, right? That's the whole point of cultural awareness and cultural competency, is to be able to know and understand what your gaps and shortfalls are and fill that with the right education to be able to develop stronger bonds and relationships with the people so that they can belong, so that they can thrive within your spaces. And when you have that culture for particular competency, people work more effectively because they're able to know that their authentic self is seen, heard, and valued, and can create that bond so there is a greater ability for them to be their full self and work as their full self and have a boss who can give them the right tools to be successful and can know, at least be aware that there are other ways to engage the work and other ways to incorporate their voices within the decisions that are being made. And so part of the strategy from that particular standpoint is for us as leaders, when we are competent in our cultural awareness, is to find ways where we can elevate more diversity, more equity, more inclusion, more opportunities to advance some of the voices within that space, because that will help build up the equity and build up the sponsorship for other people who have identities or who've been historically excluded to have a place and space at the table and even lead and move some of those decisions forward, right? When we create spaces where that voice is being more and more shared, heard, understood, and valued, it creates more opportunities for other voices to come too. And you just have a stronger team as well, which could help with your recruitment and retention efforts too. Because people will say, hey, yo, come over here. Come work with this person, because this person actually truly works to understand us and wants to be able to create that space where we are heard and valued. Be that leader that has that conscious competency in knowing how your community and how your the diverse voices work and what does it look like to help build that space within your workspace. So there's one more stage, right? And this stage is the unconscious competence, where essentially you are living and breathing and acting at a level that you just, this is innate, right? Like, this is the shooter in basketball who just, that's the Steph Currys in the world, right? They just throw up the ball and they have no look. They shoot threes and it's all good to go, right? So this is the type of person that has the understanding and awareness of the cultural dynamics around them. And it's just a part of their identity. It's a part of their lens. It's part of their language. It's part of the way that they operate in life. And it continues to be an unconscious effort without any effort to provide this level of cultural awareness and competency within their workspaces, within the way that they breathe. They immediately ask the question, who else is not in this room? They immediately seek out the voices who have not been represented in that space. They immediately think about the person who is less quote unquote societal, less than or outside the circle of concern, and broaden their cultural and broaden their circle to incorporate those voices within the work. And for this person, it's just a constant understanding that we have to be more and more vigilant. They let this be a part of our identity and how we show up in the world, right? We're going to come up in spaces where people are going to see that this is not natural. I come into a level of resistance that is that we should not be somebody who is so incorporative and inclusive with our language and the way that we approach the work. But that's okay. Like, that is how we develop a belonging workplace and a belonging world and a more unified place, because we already have this thought process in mind. So that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, just because it's innate, we can't continue to work on it. And that's actually the piece that I wanted to touch a little bit more so, is that when you utilize the model from a skill standpoint, people will want you to work to become as fast as you can the unconscious competent level, right? Where you are just a master at the skill that you are working to develop and working to build. Where it's second nature, you don't have to think about it, you just do. I think this is a scary part of doing that within a cultural understanding space or cultural competency space, because culture, people, dynamics are often changing. We are often changing human beings. Culture is often changing entity. It's not just a set type of thing, like learning how to run a computer, learning how to speak or whatever. Like, these are things that continue to change over generation and over time. And so we will never master cultural competency. Like, I just want to already put that out there, that cultural competency is something we could never master, because it's a continuous learning process that we build when we continue to be in relationship and build stronger awareness of ourselves and the people around us. And that's where that emotional intelligence comes into play, where we're able to be more and more understanding of how we show up and how others show up. And the more that we build relationships with other people, the more our knowledge and understanding of how the world works, then we can create that and put that as a part of our leadership lens to become better leaders. So there is no mastery when it comes to cultural competency, but there is a way to where we can embed this as a part of our language and a part of our work, which is where this level comes into play. And how can we then immediately have an equity lens in the way that we lead, in the decisions that we make, and who we bring in? And it doesn't have to be a cheat sheet or a piece of paper or a reminder from somebody else that we have to live this way. It is something that's just already what we do. But we have to keep staying vigilant and staying active in learning, in the reading, in building relationships, in engaging, in understanding who is not seen in our world, and how do we make sure that they are seen in our leadership and encourage other people to have their voice be seen too. In the cultural competency space, the four stages of competency still is relevant and still plays a role in the way that we lead. And while I don't believe there are people who are unconsciously incompetent out there, that's my belief. I do not believe that. I believe there is some level of cultural awareness. And honestly, we all live in that space of culturally incompetent and culturally competent space. And if once we be able to understand where we are and what stage we're in, we're able to create a plan to then set, okay, this is how I can continue to grow. This is how I can develop. This is the type of books I need to read. This is the type of questions I need to ask myself. These are the people that I need to engage with to understand and to help see the world through their lens and incorporate that perspective in my lens and work to become a better leader in that space. So I would love for you all to process this of what does the four stages of competency look like within you and your leadership? How are you mirroring this within the cultural competency space? And what does it look like for you to develop that and become more and more stronger in this space as well? As you ask these questions, there's two things I want you to do. One, I'll have a cheat sheet or a guide in the show notes to where that kind of highlights this episode and some of the lessons and findings that I found too, and some of the tactics that you can utilize as well to help you in your cultural competency journey. I believe that's important. I believe that's valuable. That's for y'all. Y'all can have it, right? And I also think that while it's important for us to do the work and do the understanding to work through these competency levels, it's also important to have a guide and a trusted advisor that guide you through that, right? And one of the things that I've been doing for some leaders and organizations and teams is to guide them through what does it look like to become a belonging leader in their workspace. And this has five different processes and frameworks that I have worked to curate and develop to help leaders become more inclusive and belonging leaders within their workspace. And I would love to coach you through that. I'd love to be one of your trusted advisors to walk through what it looks like to embody some of these concepts within your own self-awareness and your leadership awareness as well, to create belonging workplaces for you and your teams and other people who have been historically excluded within your organization, within the world. So I would love to be one of your trusted advisors and walk you through my coaching program of Belonging Inclusive Leaders by Design. And you get a workbook, we get phone call conversations, talk through your strategic plan, becoming a belonging leader within your workspace. And you have somebody you can bounce ideas off of and bounce concepts off of as well, just to ensure that we all are creating the belonging workplace culture that is deserving for our organization. All right. So click the link in the show notes so that way you can get both the guide for this particular episode as well as learn how you can be a belonging leader within the workspace. And I would love to work with you within that process as well. Continue to share your story with others. Let me know what stage you are in within this competency leadership journey. And I'll talk to y'all soon. Peace.